Welcome back to the Phil and Will Show. It's episode number 7. It's the Super Bowl aftermath. Will is distraught. Will is destroyed. Will, at the end of the day, is just a gigantic loser. That's all I can say about that. I've been wanting to say that out loud for so long. After the 49ers absolutely devastated my Detroit Lions, Will comes out here and just loses, stinks it up in the fourth quarter. That is what Kyle Shanahan does. Welcome to the podcast. I'm very excited to break this down, talk about that. We'll be talking about some other stuff too. Now the NFL's over, now we actually have to do some work, Will. Now we actually have to come up with ideas and topics. Good luck to us. But first, how's your heart? How's your soul?
Oh, man. This is one of the worst losses I've ever experienced. I mean, it felt worse than the 2019 Super Bowl just because – I mean, the Chiefs hadn't won anything yet, and now we're giving Mahomes his third. It's almost like they didn't deserve it. It's like they stole it away. It just felt icky. It felt kind of gross, and I know I'm a Niner fan, but I've heard from other fans, dude, that, like, hate the Chiefs or that, like, just don't want this NFL dynasty and, like, want, like, other teams. Like, they were even watching that, like, holy shit, how did the Niners not pull that one out? And it's not like we ever had a huge lead. Our biggest lead was 10-0. So it's not like it was like this blowout and then we choked it. It was more this really just like intense, like God, this avalanche of suspense just building and building. And honestly, probably not the most fun to talk about with this take and maybe lame, but I mean, sometimes the ball doesn't bounce your way and the ball can take one bad bounce and that decides the entire game and the entire NFL season. Like, if the punt doesn't hit our return player's foot, not the return man, but us, our special teams player, I don't even know who it is, which I, like, don't even want to look up because, like, I feel so bad. Like, that guy's probably getting death threats. And we don't need to say his name because he's already – he feels bad enough. I can guarantee you that because it wasn't Ray McCloud. It wasn't our punt returner who muffed it. I think Ray could have done a better job at collecting it. Maybe not like try to pick it up.
Everyone, you know what the problem is?
Dive on the ball. Like we always just dive on it. But I mean, if that's a cleanly fielded punt, man, like the Niners are winning that game. And it's just, it's stuff like that. It comes down to one play and you're sitting over there, you're a Lions fan. You could say, hey, you know what? Jahmyr Gibbs doesn't fumble the ball at the 20-yard line.
That ball doesn't bounce off the face mask.
Yeah. I mean, that's the NFL. And that's why we like it because it's so unpredictable. One big play can turn the whole game. But damn, does it suck when it's like it was a pretty clean game outside of that. I know McCaffrey had fumbled on that.
Very random for him to fumble, too. That was wild.
Drive and then the Chiefs fumbled in the red zone and we were able to get that. We were also able to pick off Mahomes, but we didn't score. I mean, that was, you know, we got the ball at like our 40-yard line. It wasn't like we were in the red zone primed to score. So those bounces do happen, but to have one like that where, you know, it was 19-19 at the end of regulation and know that 7 of those points for the Chiefs came off one mistake, it is brutal. So
Yeah, the biggest problem with what happened with Ray McCloud there is you're saying to yourself, okay, just get away, leave the ball alone. I'm not touching that.
No,
that
I said just dive on it and yeah, not
but,
scoop
no,
it.
No,
up.
But here's what I'm getting to that, right? Like, so he's trying to get away from it because he sees that it's gonna bounce and he doesn't want anything to do with it. Now it hits his player, and now he has to re-react to, oh my God, now I gotta go get that ball. And I get what you're saying, just dive on it, but he's trying to figure out, he's not even thinking in that moment.
It's so hard to be there. It's so easy to say, like, oh, just ball on it. It's like being in that moment, I can't imagine it, but that's a huge mistake. You know, we can break down the coaching decisions. You know, I've seen Shanahan mess up quite a few times. I don't think there's anything here that I really...
What do you think that they fired Steve Wilkes?
I'm seeing a lot of people be like, wow, you know, if you win that game, you're a Super Bowl champion and now you're fired, or it wasn't the defense's fault. They looked actually good. They held the Chiefs to, like I just said, 12 points outside of that one really fluky play where they were set up on the doorstep. So that's not what it was, though. Steve Wilkes was probably going to get fired Even if we won the Super Bowl, there's crazy,
no way. There's
as crazy
no way.
As no. Yes, because the way that the Niners have played defense in the second half of the season and in the two playoff games versus the Lions and the Packers, it was basically writing. The writing's been on the wall. He's not the type of defensive coordinator that we've had. We've had Robert Saleh, we've had DeMeco Ryans, who are both basically coaches on the sideline that pump up their players that are like, you know, they're younger guys too, that just they relate to the players, their former players, a little bit more. And Steve Wilks, he started the season up in the box. Like, he wouldn't even be on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And then Kyle Shanahan made that change midseason because the defense, they were getting smoked. And the talent on that defense, we have so much talent on this roster on that side of the ball. And he was not getting the results or what you should be with that talent. And, I mean, Wilks was – I mean, dude, he should have seen Niners message boards during halftime of the Lions game. It's pretty much like, season's over. All we have to do is fire Wilks. All we have to do is fire Wilks. Like, this was going to happen. And maybe if they win a Super Bowl, they would delay it. Or it'd say, like, Wilks took another job or he resigned. And maybe it would be a little bit more, you know, amicable of a firing or resignation or something. But this was going to happen regardless of the result of the Super Bowl. And I think most people who aren't Niners fans are looking at this with confusion, but we're not confused whatsoever.
Yeah, I feel that. People always know their teams better than other people know them, so that makes sense. And I totally hear where you're coming from on that. Let me jump in here with some conspiracy theories, okay? Conspiracy theories are always a good
sure.
time to talk about.
Sure, I'm with it. I mean, any conspiracy theory now is going to be in the Niners' favor that we got screwed. So I'm totally.
So you're
in.
All about those. So if Brandon in the Now says KC in parentheses are in quotation marks holding. End quotation marks, up another trophy. Niners are my champs. What do you think about the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs, put your tinfoil hat on, have not been called for a holding, offensive holding, in their three Super Bowl wins?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially because I think there was a list going around. It was like the top 10 offensive linemen who have been called for holding, and like two of the Kansas City Chiefs offensive linemen were in like the top five.
And remember, like, in week one, the guy for the Chiefs false started on every single play against the Lions, for anybody who doesn't remember that. And they didn't call that at all. So it's funny that we bookend the season with like controversial offensive line play from the Chiefs.
I was yelling at the TV holding for quite a few plays, especially it felt like Bosa got held quite a bit. But, you know, I think there were some, you know, calls go either way. I think in a Super Bowl, you're trying to, you know, leave the laundry in your pockets. You're not trying to stop the game or have the refs decide the game. I don't think there are any, like, super egregious calls. And, you know, holding something, it feels like you can call on any play. And it's just, yeah. Like, let the guys play. It is weird, though, that they just never get called for. I mean, I've seen that in the regular season, it feels like, where, like, the Chiefs need, like, a big game-winning drive. And yeah, here we go. Willie D says they lead the league in holding the seed. That's the thing. It seems like whenever they hold, it's like they need the game-winning drive, and that's when it's never called. And you have like some really egregious holding calls where this happened in the 2019 Super Bowl. Bosa got held egregiously on Mahomes' comeback drive, and it seems like there's not really much you can do except maybe hold a little bit more as an offensive line. But, you know, Trent Williams got called for back-to-back holding penalties that really stalled one of our drives
Trent
in the
Williams
second quarter.
Stung for you guys in that.
Yeah.
In that game. He was wrong.
Yeah, that was a tough one. So I don't know. It's not good. It was probably my second worst sports loss ever. Number one being 2016 Warriors losing to LeBron.
Oh, when you had the everything but the ring. Don't mean a thing if you ain't got the ring.
Right. Yeah, the 3-1 lead, and then Draymond gets suspended for a technical that wasn't called during the game, which has never happened in the history of the sport. Like, they just made up a rule where we're gonna like give you a technical foul, and then that technical is gonna hit the limit, which is gonna suspend.
Was that the 73-9 year? That was, right?
It was. Yeah. And it was the team that had the record and win. So it was like such an important season. And it was LeBron getting the first win for the Cavs. And that's when his ego already, which was, you know, on the moon, went to Jupiter. I mean, it just made LeBron even more
unlikable.
unlikable, hateable, everything.
That's brutal. And I will say,
but this was almost as bad, because this one was just like, damn, we got here again. Like, it got here again. Again, we've had 7 NFC championships appearances in the past like 10 years, the past decade, basically, maybe 11. And it just has no Super Bowl wins. Yeah. It's just this tough. It's tough, crazy. Man. It's crazy. Tough. It's these bounces.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I talked about this during the Atlanta Falcons when Kyle Shanahan blew it then, right?
Oh, that was bad. That was worse.
But I talked about this then. I said, as a Detroit Lions fan, I would rather never get to a Super Bowl than go through what Atlanta Falcons fans went through that day. You guys didn't hit that level, but it felt a little bit like that in the second half when you could just see the wheels start coming off and you're like, oh no, like the Chiefs are just going to find a way to win.
That's what it felt like. It felt like the Chiefs are going to find the way. And then once the ball bounced and they scored the touchdown, but then we came back and we scored a touchdown. So you took the lead right back. We came back and it was like, you know what? This Niners team's been resilient all playoffs. Every single playoff win against the Packers, against the Lions, we were down and we would come back and it felt like, wow, this is the Niners story this year. They were built for this mistake. And then that has no meaning whatsoever because what happened
though when you scored the touchdown? Blocked extra point.
Oh, yeah.
Keep it as a field goal game.
Yes, I know that's a big one too. For me, it doesn't bother me as much because then the Chiefs are playing for a touchdown in regulation, whereas they could just settle for a field goal, tie it up, go to overtime. And I fear if you're up four there, Mahomes finds a way to just end it before you even get to overtime. Mm-hmm. So actually, I was kind of sitting there, guys, like, be optimistic. This might be a blessing in disguise. Like, this might actually save us here. Hard to know. But yeah. What do you think about the overtime rules and how they work in the playoffs?
I want to say this really big, okay? For any 49er who says, we don't know the rules, we didn't even know that, that's your fault. Like, you got to know the rules. That's your fault. That's your coaching staff's fault. That's everybody's fault because the Chiefs knew the rules. I don't think
that knowing the rules had any influence.
I don't think it did either. But that
Kyle Shanahan knew the rules.
Yeah, it's that like, seems to
look,
be.
I'm going to call the play, and I'm going to tell you whether you know what you're going to do on the coin toss. But like knowing like the new rules and exactly how they work. Yeah, every football player should just know that if you're an NFL player. But like knowing nuances and intricacies. It's not as important. Like in basketball, I think it's more important because you have the ball in your hands and players call timeouts and they have to advance the ball within 8 seconds. And there's these rules. If you call a timeout, can you advance the ball on it? And there's a lot of like, when do you foul? When you not? In football, it's just pretty much the coaches. I think with football, it's like knowing to get out of bounds, knowing to manage the clock, but that's not any different in overtime. So I think that's kind of an overblown thing. I don't think the players – knowing it all really influenced anything that we were doing. It was more about Shanahan's decision. Yeah, it's a soundbite. Oh, it's great. It's a clickbait gold. I mean, you put that in the headline, you're going to get a lot of clicks and a lot of people are going to read it. But the decision for Shanahan to take the ball, I think that's one that's being looked at. And I think there's arguments on both sides.
Yeah, to me, with how the rules are set up, it really matters, man. I really don't think it matters. I think that people are trying to make it seem like it's a bigger deal than it is because
agreed.
You know if you need to score or whatever. Guess what? If you get the ball first, you're going to score points anyway. If you don't score any points, you know you're going to lose. So you're not going to punt.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be the first to like rip into Shanahan's coaching decisions. Like that's just something I've done over the years, and I think he's a terrible in-game coach and manager of the clock and timeouts and all that. I really did not have a problem with this. And remember, the whole point of these new overtime rules is to reduce the significance of who gets the ball first.
Yeah.
So if that's the purpose of the new rule, then saying whether you want the ball first or not shouldn't really matter. I mean, that's the whole point, that it doesn't matter as much. So the argument for getting the ball first, and at least Kyle Shanahan had a reason here. You see this a lot with coaches, and they make a mistake, or they get questioned about a call, like, why'd you go for it on fourth down? Or why did you run the ball up the middle when you could have taken a knee to win the game?
Did that happen Mario, to teams this year?
Yeah, Mario Cristobal.
Oh, interesting.
And he really didn't have a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it maybe came out at the end that reason was to get the kid over 100 yards because that would help his, like, draft stock or, like,
he ain't getting drafted anyway.
Yeah, something like that. But it's like, dude, be happy with 96 yards, okay?
Yeah.
To win the game. But Shanahan did have an answer for this, and it was, if we get the ball and score, and if the Chiefs get the ball and score, we have the ball in the first sudden death possession.
But let me ask you this. Do you think the Chiefs ever, if the Niners score a touchdown, do the Chiefs ever kick that extra point, or are they just going for two and you're going to win the Super Bowl on the two-point conversion, or you're going to lose the Super Bowl on the two-point conversion? Why would you put your defense?
They said, they've actually come out and said they were going to go for two.
Yeah,
on that.
I think most teams would, but, which is why you get the ball second, why there's a bit of an advantage getting second because you can score.
Right, but you can also kick a field goal and then it's fourth and eight and you're not going for it down three when you're in field goal range. You can kick a field goal and it's tied and now Niners get the ball back. Defense is more winded and now you just have the ball. Now you're playing for a field goal to win the damn game.
And
now
here's another one for you.
Not all you need 3 points. And teams might not always go for two. They might play for the tie.
Let me tell you this.
So
this
that's more important. Okay, fine. Go.
No, it is. Also, if they stop Patrick Mahomes on fourth and one, the game is over and you win.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's true, too. I know the big argument of you should defer, and then if the other team scores, you know how many points you need, and now you have all four downs to play with. Basically, once the Niners get any points, if you're the Chiefs, you have four downs. You're never going to punt. If you punt, you lose the game. So now you have four downs, and I get that, but that's also you have four downs, and if you're the Niners, you get them to four downs, and you get a stop, you win the game. So it's like it absolutely plays both ways. Something to be said here also is that our defense was just on the field for like a 60 or 70 yard drive where Mahomes marched down and they actually played really well. That's a tough stop there. And they held the Chiefs to a field goal and they didn't lose the game, but they were exhausted. So for Shanahan to put those guys out there, it's almost like Chiefs get a field goal or Chiefs get a touchdown. Here you go. Because the defense was winded. Give them a breather. Do what you can to score and then see if your defense can get a stop or try to hold them to a field goal. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. It was a really hard fought game. I don't really blame the coaches. The ball bounced a couple bad ways for us, man. Bad bounces. And that's the season. And that's how it goes. So,
yeah. And I truly believe that it was the most 50-50 situation you could have asked for. I truly believe that. I think it was totally 50-50. I think that in terms of like whether you take it or you kick, I don't think it matters. And I think Shanahan made the right choice because of what you just said. His defense was on the field for a very long time at the end of that game. You need to give your defense a break. You don't have a choice. If you put your defense back out there, Patrick Mahomes is scoring a touchdown. It is 7 points on the board. And then, okay, you can make the argument, well, the Niners are going to come out and then they're going to know they have to score a touchdown. You know what the funny part about the NFL?
Yeah, but then what? Then you score a touchdown, you're still down 1 point. And then you have to go for two or kick an extra point that we just had extra point blocked. And our kicker is probably like shaking in his boots as a rookie in the Super Bowl. So it's like, if KC scores a touchdown first, you're screwed.
What I wanted to say with this is, though, I find it funny because people are like, oh, well, they know that they have to score now. They know that they have to score. Every time you step on a football field, you know, you win the football game. You have to score. And guess what? Teams still don't score. So if the Niners make that stop on Patrick Mahomes, if they can hold him to a fourth and longer and not allow him to get in there as easily as he did, and you know, have it be fourth and inches, then he runs in for 15 yards or whatever it is, you made the stop. You did what you had to do. The defense is going to win too. I think that Shanahan did make the right move because while I understand where people are coming from, where now you'll go for it on fourth down, if it's fourth and inches on their own 35-yard line or whatever it is, the Chiefs are still going for it, dude. They're still going. You don't have a choice because you're going to punt and you're going to let the Niners just have to get in a field goal range. They're still going for it. In the fourth quarter, your defense is exhausted. So I don't care about what Shanahan did. I think it was honestly a good decision.
No, I'm fine with it. I'd be the first one to rip into it.
I think I like the rules. I think that the rules are good. I think it's a good thing for football. And honestly, this should be the rules in regular season. Like this should be how overtime is done. It's like only, it's not sudden death, and then it becomes sudden death.
The only weird part, though, is like the clock not mattering. It was like if the 10 minutes are up, then it doesn't matter.
And you switch ends. That's the biggest thing. So it doesn't matter because you're in a controlled environment. But let's say that was a postseason game in Green Bay. Now you're flipping fields. And that could be the difference between being able to make a field goal and miss a field goal.
They would never have a Super Bowl in Green Bay.
No, but I'm not. This isn't just for the Super Bowl. This is the playoffs. The playoffs have this rule.
I just feel like, all right, you should make it 10 minutes or 15 minutes and you're playing an extra quarter. And that's what it is. I don't know.
Well, they make it so that every team is guaranteed to get at least one possession. And if the Chiefs, let's say that this was the AFC Championship game and this game is being played in Kansas City, and one way the wind is whipping, it's against you, and the other way it's for you, they would probably let the clock run down to start the second quarter of overtime. So they go to the other side of the field if that's the more favorable.
Well, yeah, dude, if it were the old rules, the Niners win the Super Bowl. You win the coin toss, you get the ball. Actually, no.
Because they changed the rules now where the second team would get the ball because it was only a field goal. And guess what?
Right, that's true. But those were the old rules.
Yeah.
Those were the original rules.
Which are so stupid. I think this was a massive improvement. I think this overtime was a huge improvement. It was a really fun game. As somebody who was just like enjoying the game, not rooting really for either team.
It was a fun game. I mean, there were so many plays.
First half
was
okay, but then it became amazing.
It was like the amount of big plays that happened in that second half, and that it's like every play. I mean, obviously I'm a Niners fan. It was just like every first down was just like it felt so intense. Mm-hmm. And the bad guys ended up winning. So
I mean, it was the good guys for me and for mine.
Why are you rooting for the Chiefs?
Because I was on them. You always root for the team you're on. Well,
yeah. Actually, props. Should we review our props? I don't know if you ever calculated.
I did. So actually, here's how it went. First TD score you hit, you had CMC at plus 340. Anytime TD score, you had Juwan Jennings plus 700.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. None of mine hit, but Kadarius Toney didn't play, so that was a wash.
I crushed you. At least I won the Phil and Will Super Bowl prop.
MVP, you had Mahomes, which it should have been Harrison Butker. Harrison Butker was ridiculous. I will say my favorite thing is, though, that for the prop bet, so I had Purdy under 246.5. He threw for 255 because he played overtime. He was not going to hit.
Dude, Purdy's rushing yards. Were you on? I was on that one.
I was on Purdy and Mahomes to both have 10.
Oh, well, you hit it then. See, I had Purdy over 12.5. He had 13.
Neil.
And then he takes a knee and goes down to 12.
And then if you remember our actual player props, so like the ones where we weren't just doing touchdowns or long shots or whatever it was, you actually did pretty well. Let's look at this. So McCaffrey over 18.5, he had 22 rushes. You had Pacheco over 15.5. He ended up with 18 rushes. So you hit both of those. Mm-hmm. I hope your real life wasn't this good.
Kittle, it was. I actually made a lot of money on props, but I wasn't happy about it.
It was a good Super Bowl. It was. And then you had Kittle 6+ receptions. Sure, how did that go? 2 for 4. Boom. Yeah,
but he had that big fourth down one, which that would have been talked about. Like, see, that doesn't get talked about at all. That play was so massive, the 4th and 3, and that Shanahan had the balls to go for it, and that we barely convert with Kittle, who had kind of been nowhere all game. I mean,
everybody
blocks his off.
Shanahan. Campbell didn't do it. Campbell.
I mean, I know exactly. It's like he does it, and then he gets praised. It's like, that was a Super Bowl. That, to me, when we converted that, I was like, wow, we're going to win the Super Bowl, because that's what we need from Shanahan. We needed the balls. That's what we needed from the team. But no, alas.
Yeah. And then your last one, you had MVS under 19.5 receiving yards, and you ended with 20.
Damn. At least I didn't bet that one in real life.
Yeah. I had the Pacheco rushing yards, which I ended up getting live, and it was much better. He had a negative 12-yard rush in this game and missed his over-under by 6 yards.
Oh, man.
That's brutal. Purdy under 246.5. I already talked about that. I couldn't hit that because he went to overtime and hit it, but he didn't have it going into overtime. Kelce 7+ catches. He ended up with 9. And Bucker over 7.5 points. I love that I threw that one in there and it hit. That really makes me happy. It really does. So yeah,
I was on Chiefs over 1.5 field goals, which obviously hit. And then I was over 3.5 field goals in the game. And I was like plus like 250 or something. So, I had some successful bets.
Yeah. All right. What else should we talk about? Hold on. Before we do that, like this video, subscribe. You haven't liked yet. Like it, like it, like it, like the video. Please like the video. That's what we want. We need. We demand. Like our video. Should we change subject or you still want to keep talking about the Super Bowl?
No, I wish we wouldn't talk about the Super Bowl at all.
All right. Then we won't talk about the Super Bowl anymore. Okay, so I know that this is kind of like a random thing, but that's what the Phil and Will show is going to be, right? It's going to be kind of random. We're going to bounce around.
It's going to be way more. I mean, obviously the NFL's over. You're not a huge basketball guy. I'm definitely more of a basketball guy. Maybe when the playoffs come around, you'll get more into it. The playing tournaments are pretty fun. But until then, like, I think we're pretty open to just talk about random shit.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely start talking about some March Madness and things like that as we start getting into it. Conference tournaments are always a fun time. I love watching those. Okay, you know what? Before we jump, this is actually a good one because then we'll get into the topic I want to talk about. But Willie D says, way too early Super Bowl picks for next year. Can you be realistic about that, or are you just going to say Niners?
Why wouldn't it be the Niners, though? Everyone's like, oh, they've got this roster that's tough to maintain. It's like, it's not that tough to maintain. We gave up a lot of draft picks, so we don't even have that many. We actually do have a draft pick this season, this year, which is great. But we have a lot of players under contract, and Purdy's still on a very, very nice Niner-friendly rookie deal. So we pretty much have to sign Ayuk to an extension, draft an alignment, and like the team, for the most part, is going to return. So it's not like one of these teams where we have a bunch of unrestricted free agents that we can't bring back. So I don't see any reason why, especially now that Wilkes is gone and we get a defensive coordinator who can use all the talent we have on defense. Also the Dre Greenlaw injury, man, that really sucked.
Dude, like that was so bad for him. That's
like, that was devastating, man. That was just so sad. And like, it just,
he couldn't have done that against the Lions. We would have won the game.
It's just brutal, dude.
That's so the wrong reason to be sad.
Yeah, I think so, Phil.
My bad.
But that
was brutal though, because I think we get jogging on the field.
I know. I think we get Phil and Will Bull part two, and the Niners win again against the Lions. Maybe I think the Lions won't go for it on fourth, and they'll settle for field goals, and that will be their downfall.
And they'll lose 15-12.
Yeah, that's gonna be the story there. And then, man, I hope it's Niners Chiefs again. I want to beat the Chiefs, man. Like we need to beat them. Like I don't like if it's the Bills, the Ravens, fine, whatever. Like give me Mahomes and Kelce and the Chiefs again. Like I want to beat them so bad.
All right, you got me. I agree 100% with you. We're getting Niners Lions again. I think that the Lions and Niners, especially with the Lions keeping Ben Johnson, I think that
that's
the
huge.
Lions. The
that
Lions are going to be so dangerous offensively, and now they just got to fill some gaps on defense. Offensively, they don't need to fill gaps. So go fill the gaps defensively. I think it's Lions, Niners again. And I think it's distant third. If you look at the Super Bowl odds for next year, it's Niners plus 550, Lions plus 1,200, then Eagles plus 2,000. For conference winner, Niners plus 225.
Wait, those are all NFC teams. That's crazy.
Well, no. I didn't talk about the AFC teams. I'm just talking about the NFC.
Oh,
yeah. Like, and then if you look at
I'm gonna look at. Let's should we that should that be our second topic? Like, what futures do you want?
I mean, we can talk about that a little bit. They don't have enough out yet for like.
Okay, maybe we'll wait. Maybe we'll wait.
Yeah,
let's, a second.
Once they start releasing win totals and stuff, that's a fun podcast.
Oh, that's really.
Yeah,
that's quite far away.
Yeah, but NFC, this is on DraftKings, NFC champion, Niners plus 225, Lions plus 550. Then the Eagles and Cowboys are plus 800. The Packers are plus 1,000. The Bears are plus 1,400. The Falcons are plus 1,400. The Rams are plus 1,500. To me, when I look at that, with all the problems the Eagles have, with all the problems the Cowboys have, it's Lions and Niners again, man. Like, it's Lions. Unless there's a crazy – Goff gets hurt. Amon-Ra gets hurt.
Or like,
early.
Is there a team that could get like really hot? Like, could the Packers get randomly hot? Or like, I don't know, the Rams like put it together and get hot. I don't know. I'm just trying to like the Cowboys aren't gonna.
Who could be dangerous? The Vikings plus 2,000. The Vikings could be dangerous if Kirk Cousins stays healthy. Their defense was legit this year. They had a legitimate defense. That could be dangerous. So. I'm going to go with the Lions, but I seriously do think the Lions.
Kirk Cousins cut us up. And again, we were talking about Wilkes. like watch that Lions or that Vikings Niners game. That's when Wilkes was kind of like on his way out, like that early in the season.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go Lions because you know I'm a homer now, but I really do think that it's Lions Niners again, and I'm not gonna pick the Niners.
The Philly Will Bowl, that's great. That's great that we're gonna get that again.
Yeah, it's gonna happen.
Darn, man, I just want to get like I wish the Super Bowl was like a best like 2 out of 3 or something.
Yeah,
because you play that game and it's like, did we really crown the best team in the NFL the champion? No. Like I don't.
The Chiefs were not the best team in the NFL at all this year.
No, it just feels. And that's why I do like basketball, and I know that's why probably some people don't like basketball. Is like basketball, like
when the 8-seeded always went to the finals. Yeah, that's fun,
right? But the basketball, the better team almost always wins the series. Mm-hmm. And the 8 seed of the Heat is because playoff basketball is so different,
yeah,
from regular season basketball. And a lot of coaches, especially a coach like Eric Spoelstra, knows that and knows how to like manage his players. But like, look. All we're doing here is making sure we're healthy in a good spot and we're ready to play for the playoffs. And we can take down anybody with our roster. Yeah. And like, that's just, it's a different mentality. But in basketball, you play, you know, up to 7 games. Like most often you're going to get a team that's going to be the better team. Yeah. That's how it works.
For my AFC champ, I'm going with your man. Your old man, the man who couldn't get you over the hump and win you a Super Bowl.
You're going with the Raiders.
I'm going with the Chargers. And your man.
Oh, Harbaugh. I thought you were going with Garoppolo.
No, I'm going with like, what? I'm going with the Chargers at plus 1300. I think there's a lot of value in that one. The Chiefs, look, it's probably gonna be the Chiefs, but like the Bills, I'm not buying it. Their defense is a mess. The Ravens are really good, but like I don't think Lamar is going to be the guy who can beat 3 good teams in the playoffs.
You're just hating on Lamar, huh?
I am. Cincinnati, I think Joe Burrow is a disaster right now. I don't know what's going on.
I think it's like if it's not the Chiefs, I think the Bengals to me are like the easy second.
Nah, I don't think the Bengals were that good this year. I mean, because before Burrow got hurt, they weren't even that good.
No, they had some good games. When Burrow was healthy, they had some good games.
Some, and they also had some really bad games during that.
Yeah, but he started the year injured also. Like he didn't start 100%. And then once he got his rhythm, he had like a 3-game stretch. I think they won 3 or 4 in a row, and they looked really nasty. They beat the Niners. They killed us.
Yeah.
And again, Steve Wilkes. And then once Browning came in and Burrow's out for the season, they played some competitive games. They went downhill. I do think Burrow is like, I fucking love Burrow. Like
I do like Burrow too.
Dude. Like I would
say Burrow's a disaster because
Niners Bengals would be amazing. Cause like then if the Niners lose, I'm not like gut wrench. I mean, I would be a fourth one of these things, would be really tough to lose a fourth one. I think I'd be devastated anyway, but at least the silver lining is like Burrow getting his first one, would be cool. I really like Joe Burrow.
Yeah. The AFC is rough too, though, because then after the Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, and Bengals, then it's the Dolphins at plus 1,000. They're too far away. It's the Texans at plus 1,200. I don't trust them.
Texans, Dolphins, the AFC, it's weird. They have so many like better teams. Yeah. And it feels like the NFC, the drop off is just like immediate.
Yeah. Because it goes Niners, Lions, Eagles, Cowboys. And like, even when I look at the Eagles and Cowboys based on how they ended the season, I'm not scared of the Eagles or Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not scared of them. Whereas like, I don't know. Then you get to the Chargers, the Jets, the Jags, the Browns. The AFC, to me, like, yeah, you should say one of the four teams, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, or Bengals, but let's have a little fun and let's say the Chargers. Lions, Chargers, Super Bowl.
I'm going to go Niners, Chiefs.
Wow, dude. Don't hurt yourself with that risk there, buddy.
Or Niners, Bengals.
Do you also bet minus 20,000 all the time? Are you just like, yes, minus 20 grand?
But if you literally bet on Niners, Niners Chiefs, Niners Bengals, and then throw in Niners Chargers, those are all way plus money.
Niners Chiefs, if you parlayed Niners Chiefs, it's plus 1297.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So if you predict it right, I mean, even if that's the chalk, that's still pretty. Pretty good.
Yeah, plus Lions money. Chargers is plus 9,000. I might go put a dollar on that right now.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a great dollar bet. All right, we're going to change subjects. We're going to totally change. We're not even going to talk sports here because I want to talk about this because I saw it today and I feel like it'd be a fun conversation to have with Will, who is somebody who works very much in the production side of things. So there's this thing right now that OpenAI released called Sora. And for anybody who hasn't seen this, it's S-O-R-A. It's this like insane AI system that takes text or whatever and converts it into a video. And they were showing clips of it. And it is disturbingly realistic looking. And all I could think the entire time was the Jeff Goldblum line in Jurassic Park where he says, you were so busy asking yourself if you could that you forgot to ask yourself if you should. And as I was looking at this stuff, I'm like, that looks like a real dog. That looks like a real person. That person is moving. That looks like a real person skiing. The clips they showed from this are absolutely ridiculous. And I know that the film industry right now, where like film, TV, all that, they're fighting so hard, graphic design, all that. They're fighting so hard for like artist rights. This thing is scary, man. And it makes me wonder what the future holds for people in those types of positions and things like that. So I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on this because it's pretty wild.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is kind of bound to happen. A lot of the strike that happened last year was centered around AI. Now, there are a ton of other issues that were also being discussed, but there were talks of studios basically like, okay, we're going to get an actor, let's say Matt Damon, and we're just going to like download his face, and then we can own his face and use it for any movie we want. And like the actor gets paid for the one day they come in to download their face. Like there was stuff like that that was like on the table. Maybe it wasn't that explicit. I'm not an expert in this matter. Mm-hmm. But that was a big issue. And now it seems like the issue is like, if you can tell an AI to create a person or character that acts a certain way perfectly, then you don't even need actors. Like you can just have a photorealistic video of just a guy that's not based on anyone's likeness. And that's where it kind of feel like this is where this crosses the line, where I feel like we can always take a person's face. We've been able to do this for a little bit now, not forever, but like the past couple of years with the way tech's going, where I can take Matt Damon's face and I can make him say anything and act and do any expression. But now it's like, it's not even belonging to any individual. It is, I can just create a new character or figure and say, in this scene, he steals a car and then he drives it to the hospital to be there for the birth of his baby. Oh my gosh, he's actually a good guy. Yeah. Twist. Maybe that's a good thing. I mean, maybe it's like now writers are now able and artists to get their stuff made and their ideas out there instead of needing, you know, a $100 million budget to create a blockbuster movie. Now you can write in and then there's a big explosion and then you get a very nice explosion instead of having a special effects team or a, you know, CGI team in post that's very costly. So I don't know. With all this AI stuff, I feel like they can always get pretty close and they can do a pretty good job. But in terms of like actually making good content and telling real stories, I always feel like they will not be able, even like shitty movies that we like or like shitty comedies, the human element I feel like is so hard to replicate with all this stuff. So I think it's a fun tool. I think it's great for like pitch decks or like sizzle reels or teasers or like, hey, this is what I'm thinking. But like, I assume this is where you wanted to go with it. Like, are we thinking we're going to sit down in a movie theater or I'm on Netflix and I'm watching a 90 minute or 100 minute feature film that's completely been made in Sora or some AI software where some writer or producer just typed in prompts to what they want. And now they have a fully edited movie that's actually enjoyable to watch. I think that's kind of the question. And I don't know if we're getting there all that soon, but again, this stuff is so exponential with the growth. Like we're only getting started here. So if it already looks this good, then hey, I could be just eating my words right now.
OpenAI has kind of done this thing, right? Because they were the ones who did ChatGPT, I think. And they do ChatGPT, which people are, oh, it's going to take away, you know, writers' work and stuff like that. Look, right now you can tell if somebody runs it through ChatGPT or if they write it themselves. It's not that hard.
Right. And I think the thing is like, it's only been out for like a year. So it's like
these videos, did you watch any of them? Did you pull any up while we're talking?
I honestly can't tell if these are them or not. I've seen one of like a what's it called?
A woolly mammoth,
a Denver, a white truck on a mountain driving. Now I'm seeing golden retrievers in the snow.
Yep, that's one.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. But like, how specific? I don't know. How specific are these? Like,
I mean, there's one on NBC News right now that is animated scene features a close-up of a short, fluffy monster kneeling beside a melting red candle. The art style is 3D and realistic with a focus on lighting and texture. The mood of the painting is one of wonder and curiosity as the monster gazes into the flame. And it's pretty crazy.
I'm not finding that one. I'm just scanning
through this. It was on NBC.
Yeah, but I'm like, but for me, it's like, can you use this to cut together an entire narrative where like you have a close up and then in like a pan?
I mean, right now it's a minute long.
Right. It just came out today. So like, yeah. I'm just like forward thinking. Are we getting to the point where like you don't need a film crew and actors and post production? And it's like, here's my movie. Here's my idea. Like, AI, spit it out. How far away are we from that? To me, I think we're probably really, really far away. And again, I could be wrong, but it feels like a lot of these AI tools, there are more ways to help efficiency and to fill like little holes and needs where they aren't really like replacing entire industries. Like, has ChatGPT replaced like entire industries?
No. And as somebody who works in the industries that has a lot of ChatGPT, no, it hasn't. It has not. Because
it's a tool. Like,
I was using, so like I was working for a company as a freelance writer, and they sent us an email that was like, if you use ChatGPT, you're done. We'll fire you on the spot. Don't use ChatGPT. They could tell immediately when somebody did ChatGPT. They could tell immediately. And there were people who did get fired for that. And so it's like, it's, you can tell when it's been changed. What I think is interesting about this, as somebody who's a big like Disney fan and Universal fan and like likes going to theme parks, I enjoy going to theme parks and I enjoy being immersed in those worlds and seeing that stuff. I enjoy watching the clips of, oh, here's the new attraction that's coming or whatever. Like, I'm a big nerd for that stuff. Will make fun of me because I go on all the small rides at Disney World and he's like, you should go on coasters, dude. Like, as he like taps his chest and says, bro, you know, but I find this stuff interesting because these types of videos now, is a company like Disney going to pick up this app or pick up Sora and say, put together a video of a log flume type ride with Tiana from The Princess and the Frog. And now it's going to be able to render that and show that video without needing an art director, without needing somebody to film that, without needing that. And now they're going to be able to put out a 1-minute trailer for the entire ride of their new Splash Mountain attraction. And they can just put that on the internet and it's done. And they didn't have to hire a single person for it. Is that the route we're going down? Because that's what it feels. That's where I'm more concerned, is like, you have to think, because you know, Will, and a lot of people don't know this, if they don't work in film, if they don't work in TV, everybody hears about Brad Pitt. Everybody hears about, you know, the big directors, the Coen brothers and stuff like that. But you don't hear about those people who are making their living shooting car commercials and who are shooting Coca-Cola commercials and doing all that stuff. You don't hear about that all the time. Is this going to cut away from the B-roll directors, the second unit directors, things like that? Are we going to start using those people?
I think probably. And I think that's with any technology, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of what happens. And again, I don't know if this is going to replace entire industries, but it definitely will replace some roles. And I think we've already seen that with like software. I mean, just like look at what software has allowed us to do. And, you know, even like, you know, accounting or documentation or litigation, how many people would need to perform a task, or even doing like search, like command F. Okay. Without laptops, that used to be a job where you'd have people who would search through files and folders. They would go to businesses that were under litigation and they would do like a search inquiry or whatever. And they would get all of their files and then go through them by hand, and they would hire people. Now people can digitize this and they can hit command F. So like, we've been doing this. This isn't a new thing, or we can go back even earlier where it's like, you know, the way we used to disperse books.
We used to write them by hand too.
We used to write them by hand, and we did before the printing press was invented, a big job. And this was actually a very academic, scholarly, important role in society that only the smartest people were able to do it, were scribes, that they would take one writing from somewhere and then they would rewrite it, and they would know how to, you know, have good handwriting, and they know how to like make sure it's correct and all that. And that's how you would make copies of writings of human beings for scribes. And I don't think anyone today is like, oh my God, the scribes are unemployed. Like the scribes don't, they can't make a living because we have computers and copy and paste. Now the printing press came and now it ruined the scribes union. No one's saying that. So I think when we look at all this AI stuff, I think it's a wrong mentality to be like, oh, we're going to replace jobs. It's like, that's we've been doing this as humans for thousands and thousands of years, and that's okay. It's more about, all right, what new jobs are now available now that we have these tools? And I think you've seen this with ChatGPT. Now you have like prompt specialists. That's like, who are the people that are the best at getting ChatGPT to actually accomplish work at an efficient rate? And those jobs, some of them are paying like six figures. People that really know how to put something, put a tool and put software like this to use. And I'm saying that everyone should do that. So
but there's a lot of people who don't know how to use it.
Right. And I just think with any new technology, there is a big thing. And it's kind of like, oh, self-driving cars. So we're going to lose all our Uber drivers and taxi drivers. Yeah, but think about how much more productive we can be as a society if we aren't spending all of our time, like so much of our days and time sitting in a car, unable to do anything else. Like now, if I have a self-driving car, I can actually be working on something. Like I can be working on a pitch deck. I can be using whatever this is, Sora, to be prompting videos that I'm going to cut together to make a pitch deck for my animated movie that I want to sell. You know, like we have, I think you have to look at it through that positivity and the lens that this, these tools help us become more productive, even if the short term, some people are going to lose their jobs. I mean, that's just the nature of growth and technology.
When do you think we're going to hit the point though, where there is a AI that comes out that does the Phil and Will show and we don't do it?
Let's see.
Hopefully soon. Huh? You getting tired yet?
Yeah. Can we do that instead? Can we just hire Sora? Can we just, what is this, our seventh episode of Phil and Will show? We just, we, hey, AI, watch these seven episodes and then just like digest everything that happens on the internet with sports and pop culture and movies and AI, the software that we're talking about now, and have a, you know, fun, lighthearted, enlightening conversation about it. How far away are we from that? Man, dude, I don't know if it ever gets there. That's not what I'm saying. I don't think it ever can. And honestly, if you're listening to a podcast from two AIs talking to each other, like what are you doing? You know, like unless it's like really good conversation, but it's like I think what makes conversation interesting is you have different perspectives. AIs are gonna have the same information,
or they're gonna have a perspective. It's gonna be okay, because just to make it political, because it's easy in the US, but they're gonna say, okay, write this from the perspective of a diehard Biden supporter, write this from the perspective of a diehard Trump supporter. But there's not gonna be any nuance to that. It's just gonna be okay,
have two AIs have an argument, and it's like, this is this, and the other AI who has access to the same information will just be like, oh yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, so often with GPT, ChatGPT, if you use it, I'll ask it a question. I'll be like, no, this is actually wrong. It's actually this way. And then the ChatGPT will say back like, oh, you are correct. Let me correct this.
You start hearing the smoke coming through the air vents into your room when you correct ChatGPT. Is it like setting off something so that it starts poisoning you?
It's not getting mad. No, but it's wrong often. And it will then just be like, oh, yes, you are correct. Like, very, very much. It's funny.
Now you've made the AI smarter. And you're actually.
AIs are very polite. So I just feel like an AI is podcasting to each other would just be like, yes, that is a good point. You are correct. I also think.
Like, confetti.
Yeah.
Willie D says, I told my friends I was writing a book and I asked ChatGPT to write a summary of my book and it was perfect. That is interesting because this was something I was just at a writer's conference and they, you know, writers don't really try to talk about AI all that much. You know, they're very catastrophizing. So when they do talk about AI, it's, well, we're never going to have jobs. Every writer doesn't think they're going to have a job anyway. And I've been working as a freelance writer now for 3 years with no problem. It's just a matter of like actually knowing where to look and what to do and having interests and hobbies and whatever. But like it always wants to go to that catastrophic, oh my God, this has replaced us. I have considered that because I have a book that when I was at this writer's conference, I was talking to people about, and a lot of them want a synopsis. It's tough because mine is a multi-character point of view, different points of view story. So I was like, man, I'm having a hard time of where to focus this in on and what to make the synopsis. And somebody was like, just use ChatGPT. And I don't want to do that. I don't feel like that's the right way. I feel like it's still going to be known, but I would be curious, Willie, if you were to send that over and be like, this is what the synopsis is, or this is the summary, I'd love to read that and see what a total ChatGPT written summary looks like, because just to see if I, as a person, would be able to look at that and say, okay, well, here's a little thing that's a little weird, or here's a little thing. And I wonder though, can it hit your tone, right? Because if you're submitting to a publisher or to an agent or something like that, your book is going to be written very specifically. Now, can ChatGPT capture the tone that you're trying to convey in your book and make it seem like your cover letter, synopsis, summary matches what is actually written on the page of your novel?
Yeah, I think that's where copywriting and like the connectivity and the coherence of all, that's very human.
Yeah, it's a good time.
So it's tough to do as a robot. I think this, again, I've said this a bunch now, a couple of times in this conversation, it's like, the scary thing is that this is all new and that it just gets better and better and better, and it gets better at getting better. That's the thing with machine learning. It's like basically machine. They don't really know exactly how machine learning works, but they give machines like basically individual little groups of code, like all these tests, and they just like find the ones that pass the test the most. And then they give them more tests and more tests, and whoever's just getting better. And they just keep, it's evolution. They keep getting the best programs and bots that keep acing whatever the task is. And then they get exponentially better to a point where like in 10 years, it could be a point where like, I don't know, we could all be, they'll be, one of the theories on AI is that we'll all be dead or immortal within like 30 years, because like it will just hit a breaking point of like AI will save us all, or it will be the death of us. And that there's not really any in between, because AI will be able to solve every problem, including death, and that it will basically, yeah, or it will recognize us as a threat and eliminate us.
You know what sucks though about that? Not the part of being a threat and being killed off. That wouldn't bother me. It's the idea that if that happens in 30 years, are we going to reverse age? Because at that point, I'm going to be 60 years old. That sucks, man. I don't want to live forever as a 60-year-old. I want to live forever as a
30-year-old. Like if there was a way to reverse, it can't make things that are impossible possible, right? But if
We'd be screwed. We would just learn how to live forever because it would solve death. And now we're going to be living.
Reversing age is like something that can be figured out, the AI would be able to figure it out. This is, you know, an exceptionally, infinitely smart entity essentially, and then everyone could just revert to whatever age they want.
That's crazy. Imagine being the person who dies the day before they figure it out.
Or it's like replacing all of your, it would just be replacing all your cells individually to match like a photo, or look at your genetic code at what you would have looked like at a certain age. So he's like, I want to look like what I was at 22. It would be able to just like replace every cell. Something, I mean, the shit is so like bananas. But that's, I mean, that's what some people.
Hey, if you would have told people before the printing press was invented and they were scribing that one day there would be a computer, essentially.
Yeah, a digital that's connected to every other computer in the world, and everyone can just type one thing, everyone can read it live. Yeah. And you can do it with video too.
I can copy my 200-page novel and send it to Will in less than 5 seconds.
Yeah, across the world.
Across the world.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's would have sounded absurd to them. And maybe AI becomes the norm. And hey, maybe this sounds really shitty too, but it also could be a natural evolution of life. That life gets so smart that it forms computers, and then they work to make those computers smarter to a point where the computers get smart, where they become the most intelligent beings, and they kill the animals, and they become a society of hyper intelligent computers. And that is life, and that they are living conscious computers. I mean, that's just, again, there's a lot of theories on this. Not to spook anyone out, but that
you just literally made everybody on the Phil and Will show hate us. We're supposed to be like the fun guys. We were talking about Super Bowl aftermath and 2025 predictions less than 20 minutes ago, and now you're talking about we're all going to be murdered by robots.
I'm not saying you're going to be murdered or that will be. I'm just saying these are a lot of thoughts, and there some of these thoughts are like, hey, it's okay. Like it's okay that there become smarter beings than us that then go to other planets and spread out. And like, that's our story and that's fine.
Does this mean that my theory that we have done this thousands of times over throughout history, thousands and thousands and thousands of times, that like literally human beings are born, they create, they evolve to this point. Eventually AI comes, just decimates everything, leaves it in rubble, makes it nothing. And then humans start over again and they find the pieces, and that's what helps them start and build up again.
I mean, that's a big theory on human evolution in general and planet interplanetary species and all that is the great filter. And that why haven't we found any advanced species yet? We've never seen any. And one of the theories is the great filter, that there is some filter in civilization once it modernizes to a certain point that it destroys itself, and that it never reaches a point where it can enter galactically travel or leave signs in the universe or of other galaxies or planets or stars, because it reaches a point where it self-destructs. And that is a very major theory that people think. Now, is AI the great filter? I think if AI reached a point where it was hyper intelligent, exponentially more intelligent than we are now, to the infinite power essentially of the most intelligent being or entity that could ever exist, I think having no sign of that elsewhere, like if that really kept happening and repeating over and over, there would be signs of that hyper intelligence. But maybe you get so intelligent to a point where you know, lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep. And it's like, maybe the AI gets so hyper intelligent, they realize what this whole universe thing is and like get out or leave or do something else. And then we're left here to repeat. Maybe that's it. I don't know. Could be.
What the fuck, man? Thanks. No, I love this stuff. I think about it all the time. I love watching the Nat Geo shows on Disney Plus, like all the ones about the pyramids and like all these things they built, like the Maya. It's just fascinating to me. I always find it hitch. I find it so epic because these are histories that are thousands of years old that were so advanced. And you say, how was this made? And people go, oh, well, there was slave labor and stuff like that.
So, no, yeah. We don't know. We don't know how the pyramids were made. Like anyone who claims that we know, awesome. Like we literally don't know.
And that's what's awesome. I think that's awesome. So fascinating that we don't know.
We should do a Phil and Will pyramids breakdown and just go over every possible.
I would love that.
I think that could be really fun. Well, let's see. Let's see if people are into this, like kind of AI. Like we really took a turn. I mean, every week was NFL. It was like NFL wild card predictions, NFL divisional predictions, secession. NFL championships, the secession, the Emmys, the Golden Gloves. Then we went, you know, Super Bowl props, Super Bowl recap. Now we're going into just like AI, human existence, what's out there, all these bigger questions. But hey, it's always fun conversation.
The universe and you. What movie is it from?
No idea.
Really? You don't know that one? Let me make sure.
The universe and you.
The universe and you.
You have me thinking of not a movie, but a TV show. A TV show that you haven't even watched. So I'm not going to name that.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it reminds me of, well, go ahead.
No, you go. What does it remind you of?
Well, it reminds me of Severance, which you have to watch.
Yeah, I guess what's funny is what's very funny about this is it's not actually in the movie. Going back to my love of theme parks, it's not in the movie. it's only in the attraction at Universal Studios, and it's Men in Black, Alien Attack.
Oh,
that I didn't know that. I thought it was in the movie, and they pulled it from the movie, but they didn't. So I just looked it up, and it's only in that.
You really have to watch Severance, and maybe we do a recap. We do a Severance. When we do this, maybe on the Phil and Will Show, we do a Severance recap where you watch it for the first time. I've already seen it twice. I would watch it again with you. And then I can kind of like talk it through with you as you're watching for the first time. Because there's a character in Severance named Rickon, who is an author who has a lot of phrases. The universe is you, like something like he has a book. It's called The UUR or something like that.
I like it. Maybe that becomes like the second half of our show, right? Maybe we figure out a way to make the Phil and Will Show here's a half hour dedicated to whatever, and then here's
pyramids. We got pyramids, and then
Severance. I love this pyramids thing, man. I'm telling you, I watch that stuff, and I just go, "There's no way." How did
I saw a crazy, crazy theory on it? It seems like such BS, but like maybe. So maybe we'll talk about that on one of the next Phil and Will ones.
I love it. All right. You want to wrap this up before everybody hates themselves?
Yeah.
Thank you all so much for listening to this. That certainly took a turn. I hope you enjoyed it because I actually really enjoyed this conversation. I knew that Sora would get Will thinking because Will's a deeper thinker. He's not the dude bro that you think he is just because he's a Niners fan. He's got some thoughts in there. But yeah, so we'll be back at some point next week. Tune into that. If you haven't checked out our Survivor stuff, I'm sure you all have. Most of you probably are bouncing right off of the traders into this. But let us know what other topics you kind of want us to talk about. Because now that the NFL's over, you can see that we're willing to talk about anything. I never thought that this podcast was going to be about Sora today. And I texted Will at like 8 o'clock saying, "Hey, man, did you hear about the Sora thing? I think we should podcast about it." And here we are. So let us know what else hot topics, whatever's fun. I think that this is a really cool thing. And it kind of lets us broaden our perspective a little bit, which I always enjoy. If you haven't liked the video, make sure you do. Become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. If you're loving the Phil and Will Show, you're probably going to love all the content that we have over on Patreon because we talk just Phil and Will talking about, you know, Survivor and me and John do movies. And then we have our Q&A, which actually is coming out, and our next one's coming out next Friday. So whole bunch of fun stuff going on over on the Patreon. Thank you all so much for listening. If you're a Phil and Will Show fan, you are one of our most dedicated watchers. That is for sure. And we really appreciate that. So thank you, and we'll see you next week.
See ya.